Hello and welcome back to the Book Marketing Tips and Author Success Podcast. So today, this is my favorite topic, and I'm totally being facetious right now. By the way, this is Penny Sansbury and Amy Cornell. If you're new to the podcast, thank you so much for listening. If you're just tuning in, and thank you, by the way, we've gotten some really, really great reviews recently. And we want to thank all of you who are reviewing our podcast and giving us listener feedback as well as show ideas. Speaking of which, before we delve into my absolute all-time favorite topic, we're going to be doing a show sometime before the end of the year. And we are going to push this in our newsletter as well as on social media. So don't worry if you don't have a pen and paper handy. Send us your questions. Ask us anything. And be specific. So if you want some guidance on your book, a question like how do I sell more books is not something that's easily answered without knowing all of the things that kind of go into it. So try to, as the more specific that you can be with your question, the more likely it is that we will answer it. And you can also ask us a question just about ourselves. And if you get super creepy, we can choose not to answer it. But,
although now I like the direction this has gone and this got way more fun.
I know, but it could be something that, like you could ask us the top 10 things you're obsessed with, for both Amy and myself, that one of those would be true crime. Mine top of the list would also be Costco and my dog Cosmo, but ask us anything. We are going to be doing a show. Like I said, we don't have a firm date on it yet, and we will run this promo on social media as well as in our newsletter. So without further ado, let's talk about bestseller list secrets. And whenever I get an author on the phone who says to me, I'm hiring you because I want to get on the New York Times bestseller list, and maybe it's their first book or whatever, I kind of groan. Only because there are so many layers to this conversation. So I thought that it would be a really good idea to talk a little bit about the makeup of the New York Times bestseller list, as well as other bestseller lists, but also that the Amazon bestseller list, try to say that fast three times.
I know, right?
Because it is, you know, typically, so authors a lot of times default to the Amazon bestseller list. And there is a way actually to get to get a bestseller on Amazon. And we'll talk about that too. But first, so the New York Times bestseller list is interesting because it's actually not based on sales. At one time, and I don't know if this is still true, but at one time there were 34 reporting stores around the country that actually reported into the New York Times on a book popularity. So it wasn't necessarily based on sales. So that's the other sort of convoluted piece of this. And I think at one point somebody tried to actually sue the New York Times because they were just like, "What? My book's old and it should be and blah blah." But what happened, and I think if I'm not, hopefully not misremembering this, and if I am, I'm sure one of our knowledgeable listeners will write us. What happened in this case is this author was selling books, quite a lot of them, actually, I think in her region, right? And part of the reason why, and a lot by a lot, I mean like 10,000 a week or something, but part of the reason why the New York Times, it didn't hit their radar screen is because they weren't national sales, which is a big difference with, you know, in a lot of situations. So it's not meant to discourage you, but I would love for hopefully these podcasts to help redirect some of this energy, some of this excitement, and funnel it into something that is productive, right? So years ago, when Amazon first started, there were companies out there that would help you trick the Amazon system, essentially. I mean, they didn't say that, but that's kind of what they were doing. So for example, you could hit a bestseller list, let's say on Tuesday or something on the Amazon the Amazon system, but you had to buy up 10,000 copies of your book at once. Like there was always some catch, right? And you had to buy them at retail. And so you're on Amazon and you're hitting the buy button on 10,000 books, which I'm sure must have hurt, right? But Amazon got onto that and they were like, okay, so you can buy 10,000 books, but if you're at the same IP address, meaning that if you are in Texas or you're in wherever, Washington State, and you're at home buying all these, it only counts as one sale, right? So Amazon really got a gotcha. So the workaround to that was that now you have to have a newsletter list and have everybody buy the book on the same day. There's a much easier way to hit the bestseller list and a much more ethical way. Like when somebody, when I get on the phone with an author and they're like, oh, I've hired a company to help me get a bestseller. I'm like, right? I literally groan. I hope not audibly, because I don't mean to be disrespectful, but it just, I'm a little jaded.
It's not okay. It's not okay.
Like, thank you for saying that, Amy. No, it's not okay. It really isn't. And there are ethical ways of, you know, hitting the bestseller list, which we will talk about in just a second. But first I want to tell you about this one story with this author. I'm sorry that I'm laughing again. So I'll never forget this conference call with this author, and who shall remain nameless, was from a major publishing house. And there were supposed to be like 25 people on this conference call. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, like I could think of torture that would be less painful than a conference call with 25 people, right? And I was in New York and I'm on the phone. I'm in a Starbucks because you can't find a quiet place in New York. And I was in between meetings, so I couldn't go back to my hotel room. And I'm on this call and there's supposed to be 25 people, but what ended up happening, this was the weirdest thing, is people would like click on and click off and nobody would say anything, right? So we had the publisher and I was on and, you know, everybody's trying to like fill the time talking. And I think the author clicked on once and said something weird and then clicked off. It was very strange, right? So we go from that, like the next day, this book starts hitting bestseller lists like all over the country. It's amazing, right? And you could have knocked me over with a feather with this book, because I'm like, you know, it's not that it was not a good book, but it didn't seem like it was going to have that much national attention, right? Uh-huh. So even though we did get hired by the publisher to do this work, I mean, they weren't getting a lot of early buy-in for this book. So there was a lot of things that were pointing to the fact that this book wasn't going to do well. So as it turns out, the author was buying up their own copies of the book. And how we found out was they had a storage unit in Arizona. I want to say it was in Phoenix, but it was in Arizona. I know Arizona for sure. And they forgot to pay the storage fees. So the guy calls the publisher and he's like, so we just open up this storage unit and we have all these books. And that's how they found out that the author was buying up their own books. And that's how he hit the bestseller list.
That is hilarious. Can you imagine if it made it onto one of those reality shows where they have people bid on storage units and then,
right?
And then you win that one. You're like, shit. Like,
right. So listen, guys, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh, I could buy up my own books and pay for a storage unit, don't do it. And here's why. This particular author was never, ever, ever signed again. Mm-hmm. So there have been no other books out by this author at all. So don't do it, because you'll get a bad name. However, there are ways that you can. So Amy, why don't we talk a little bit about your pet peeves when it comes to bestseller lists? I'm just going to let you kind of run with it, whatever your vibe is. Don't get us kicked off of iTunes, but anyway, go for it.
I know, no content violations. Well, but Penny, I do want to add real quick though, what you were saying about the vibe you got from the book, the author, the branding, all that stuff. Just, you're like, there's no way this makes sense. I think that totally fits in with a lot of the conspiracy theories about the New York Times bestseller list as well. You know what I mean? That if y'all Google it, there are so many theories out there about how the New York Times bestseller lists actually get populated. And it's kind of fun to read those articles, because usually they come with like, names have been changed to protect, you know, insider informants and stuff. And it can be kind of fun to read some of them, although a bit disheartening. But it's really, I think, I'm so glad that you actually, that kind of stuff, Penny, is a great reason to do this episode and why you suggested, because it's so easy to get caught up in these kind of like blanket goals that really are not things you want to focus on, you know, because there's just so much more to it that you have zero control over, that it, you know, you're better off spending your time elsewhere. And that's what we're leading into now. But yeah, some of my pet peeves, honestly, it's like,
I'm already laughing, guys. I'm sorry. We were in the green room and I was rolling. So go for it. Sorry.
Well, it's one of the things, I mean, truly though, all of us, we're all consumers and nobody wants to waste their money for the most part, right? Like we go out of our way to not waste our money and to get exactly what we're looking for. And that is also true with books. And we talk about this with clients and authors that are, you know, chatting with us about working with us, Penny, that, you know, books are not expensive in the big scheme of things, but they demand a lot of people's time.
Thank you.
Authors, we really want you to keep that in mind when you start getting frustrated. You're like, why don't people just buy my damn book? You know, it's like, it's not the money. So you have to reframe what goes through people's heads when they get ready to purchase a book, and it's their time. You know, when you buy a book, you do that with the intention of reading it, you know, and that's many hours of your life in most cases. You know, and that's a big deal. People don't just throw their time around, you know, so that part is what comes into play more often than not. And so people want a sure thing. If they're going to commit multiple hours to reading a book, they want a sure thing. So when authors come to us and they don't have a website, they're not using, or they're not even using social media. You know, we're not saying everybody has to be on all the social media, not a thing, but you need to have, you need to show that you're worth it. And not having a website makes you more, like that makes you more uncertain. Like people are, what's going on here? Who is this person? If it's your first book, no offense, but if you don't have previous titles that have great reviews, that also makes you not as much of a sure thing. If your cover doesn't just instantly wow them when they land on your retail page, that also, I hate to say it, like that's another, you know, knock on the totem pole. Like there are these things that really need to hit a consumer all at once, and it needs to make sense.
Right.
Before you are going to get these instant sales that just rack up quickly enough to hit a bestseller list. So you really, what it comes down to is honestly your branding and your platform. And it doesn't mean it has to be super robust. Like we get it. Everybody starts somewhere, but everybody that starts somewhere has an equal opportunity to make smart choices early on before they start heading down that road and they slap their book on Amazon and expect everybody to show up and just click buy.
Right, exactly. And I think that it feels a little bit, you know, I mean, I get it. It feels a little bit less sexy to focus on, you know, to focus on your newsletter, for example, right? Mm-hmm. But a newsletter is 50% more effective at selling books than any or all of your social media portals combined, right? And you may be lucky. And look at, Amy said this in the green room. She's like, let's do a shout out, right? If you have an example of somebody who did all of this stuff without, we want to hear about the anomalies. We want to hear about the exceptions. So definitely email us. But typically, I mean, I wrote an article for Publishers Weekly a bunch of years ago, and it was called Nobody is Born Famous, right? So there are better, more important things for you to focus on when you launch your book rather than I want to hit a bestseller list, which doesn't necessarily mean, and we're going to get into that too, that you can't hit one on Amazon, right? It happens all the time, right? Mm-hmm. But I think the important piece and what Amy's talking about really is you have to build a foundation, and a newsletter and, you know, doing reader outreach is a big part of that, because your readers can help you sell more books and help you sell future books and help you sell your backlist and your email list. A well-cultivated, like I said, is 50% better at selling books than all of your social media portals combined, which is important. The other thing, and this is something that I wanted Amy to address, is, you know, the importance of narrow categories. And I know Amazon like changed their categories and stepped into this category party that we were all having, but the categories have still, there are still narrow categories on Amazon, and you can hit a bestseller list on a narrow category and be very proud of that. I mean, I've hit bestseller lists in categories that are, I mean, I don't know, author, why am I blanking on it right now?
But there's resources.
Author resources on Amazon, yes, which is not, it's obviously not one of their most, it's not as robust as mystery, thriller, blah, blah, whatever. But I got my bestseller flag, and I think that's awesome. So Amy, talk a little bit about some of these narrow, awesome niche categories that you're still seeing despite all the category changes.
Oh my gosh. It always just floors me. And I'm a marketing person. I'm not a book writing person. So as I'm doing category research, every once in a while, I'm like, I wish there was a part of me that could write a book, because this is what I would write about, which I realize is the complete ass backwards way to do things. But still, like, when I see categories, there's surprising, again, and this is very specific, but there are a surprising number of young adult categories, Penny, that I am just shocked are not more popular, that we don't see more book titles in.
So
if anybody listening writes for in the young adult space, get a hold of us, please, because there are so many great opportunities out there, especially with some smart marketing. I mean, that's one that stands out to me every single time. It's just because I feel like it had such a moment for a long time, but it still surprises me that not very many books show up in a lot of those categories.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think, another fun one that I like, that again, kind of like you were saying, Penny, it may not be a sexy category that you're super like, ooh, I want to tell everybody about this. But believe it or not, contemporary fiction with the subgenre of set in America is another one. Isn't that super random?
That is so random.
I know. And now everybody's going to be like, wait a minute, my book's set in America. Like I can... But truly, that's another one that is still doesn't have a ton. It's just not overwhelmingly stuffed with books like so many of them are. You know, I will say anybody that writes, thriller suspense that doesn't have like a very clear horror element to it or something like that. I mean, those are just getting more and more challenging. I will say, you know, those are definitely super packed categories. And I think Amazon could do better at serving both authors, but also consumers by breaking up the thriller, suspense, mystery categories. Mystery does a little bit better, but thriller and suspense, I'm always just so disappointed at how Amazon's handled those categories in particular without segmenting those better for readers too. You know, because, the contemporary fiction set in America, that's a really good one. There's a freebie for people listening. But then also if you're listening and you're writing, that's another one, young adult, like teens, definitely get a hold of us because we have ideas and there's a lot of opportunities there as well. And those are just like a couple that are on the top of my head, but yeah, it's wild when you do this research and you see one, you're like, oh my gosh, you know, and I always think about like, do we have a client that we've worked with recently? And I could, you know what I mean? Or anything like that. Cause I'm always thinking of those things when I find categories that are still not overly competitive, that have a lot of great opportunities.
Well, and here's the thing though. And actually just so for those of you listening, have listened for a while, Amy absolutely does that. Like she'll text me, like sometimes she'll work on her Amazon the Amazon stuff like at night, which I always encourage her not to do, but anyway, whatever. And she'll text me, like I'll be, you know, watching television. She's like, oh my God, do we have somebody for this? Like, and she finds these categories all the time. But here's the other thing too, to know about these categories. Amazon is constantly category shuffling. We just did a show, I think last week, on the dead end categories on Amazon and these weird categories that really go nowhere. But Amazon is category shuffling all the time. So that category in America, what was it called? Something in America? Something happened in America?
Yeah, it's just a contemporary fiction category.
Ain't in America.
But there's a subgenre for set in America.
Oh, set in America. That's it.
Yeah, in the United States. And it's like, wow, like that seems like such a broad category, and you'd think you'd see, you know, 60,000 plus books in it. You know what I mean? Like without a doubt. And it's surprisingly not competitive. I think just because most people don't dig that far, you know?
Right. And the part of the other piece of this too is that this is where Amazon just shuffles in some of these, you know, categories. So it pays to get onto Amazon and take a look at some of these categories, specifically the ebook, because those are the ones that are always changing. Mm-hmm. I remember a few years ago, I think the Hallmark Channel, by the way, just want to point this out, the Hallmark Christmas movies shuffle has already started. Amy's already disgusted with me. I was like, the weekend, I'm like, oh, I recorded my first Christmas movie. I'm like, oh my God, I need help. It hasn't even been Halloween yet.
But, I know. I'll be with you on November 1. I'm right there.
Right. But, you know, Amazon added a category to romance, holiday romance. And then they did holiday romance in a small town holiday romance, which I don't know that they still have that one. But Amazon's changing categories all the time. So the moral of the story, boys and girls, is that bestseller secrets is not a secret, really. It's really about if you want to hit a major national bestseller list, that's awesome. I think that's a great goal. I don't know if it's a smart goal to have right out of the gate. Depends a little bit on your own situation. So I don't really know what you may have this robust 1 million mailing list and you've really got it going on. And your first book is just, you know, everybody's talking about it tomorrow or whatever. And that's always, there's always an anomaly. But for most of us, we have to build the foundation. And part of that foundation is your mailing list. And we didn't do a whole, we wouldn't spend a lot of time talking about the mailing list because we've done shows on that before. So please go back through our library and check out some of the shows. We did a show on super fans. We've done, I think, two or three shows actually on super fans. So definitely check those out. And we
be shameless, right, Penny?
Right. Yeah.
Like I feel like authors get way, they get shy. They get what, you know what I mean? Like, oh, I can't do that. Or I already asked, you know, people I know to buy a book, you know, when it first came out, it's like, so ask again, you know what I mean? Like it's a big freaking deal. Yeah. You wrote and published a book and most people are very well-intentioned, but we all get busy. Yeah. I tell our clients that all the time, people get busy. Like they appreciate reminders and make it easy for them. You know, make sure you're linking to your book. Make sure you're linking to multiple versions because not everybody uses Amazon a lot. You know what I mean? Link to the ebook, link to the print book. Give them a blurb they can use. Remind them to share it. Forward the email. Everybody can do that. You know what I mean? But make it easy and like outline what they can do to help you and just be very clear and straightforward and let them know how much it will help you get your book off the ground. Yeah. I think that's a huge thing, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a huge thing as well. And I think that it's a, I think that the more time that you can invest in your, in the structure of the foundation of your success, the more successful that you will be long-term because you have that, you know, you have that foundation, which when you first start out, is not really there. So not to dash your dreams, but again, we welcome anomalies. If you have an anomaly, if somebody's like, no, Penny and Amy, you are wrong. This happens, send that our way. Cause we would love to, we'd love to feature that on an upcoming show with your permission, obviously. And, show ideas. We always welcome show ideas. And reviews. We love reviews. Thank you, by the way, for all the reviews that we've had recently that have popped up on iTunes and other any place that you listen to podcasts. We always welcome reviews, but we've had a lot of really great ones recently. So thank you so much for tuning in. And we will see you next time. Bye-bye.